Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Please get your sword. Anybody know where we're going? Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Dale. For the rest of you, what's up? Good morning. Glad you guys are awake. Hey, thanks for coming out on the awesome, amazing spring day. Amen. Last night I heard I was going to bed. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I heard the city workers out there plowing. And I said, those guys are nuts. That's just dumb. There ain't no way there's going to be snow in the morning. Yeah. So I was shoveling this morning. For the recording, today is April 15th. And we had snow. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We are in the, I believe, 13th message of the series called Love and Purpose. And I want to talk to you today about the law of purpose. The law of purpose. Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together. Do you know that? I'm not super convinced. I'll try it again. Maybe all y'all were flipping. I get that. Those of you that don't have e-Bibles, you know, it takes a little longer to get there. But so the scriptures say the same God that called Abram, and then he was, says, and we know all things work together for good. Anybody know that?
Amen.
Praise Jesus. I'm convinced that y'all know that God is able to work all things together for good. And the two qualifying characteristics of a person that has things working together for good in their lives are they're loving Him. Not they have loved Him. Not they will love Him. Amen. How would my wife feel if I stood up at the altar and said, you know what, baby? If you play your cards right, 10 years down the road, I'll be loving you. A lot of people come to God that way. Honestly. They say, you know what, God, if you show out, if you do all the things I want you to do, you answer all my prayers, you give me only the best things that are possible on this planet, and then I'll think about loving you some. Amen. Thank God His love is not like our love. His love was in that while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. And you can love Him sight unseen. In fact, it says in 1 John chapter 4, how can you love your fellow man who you have seen and not, how can you not love God who you have not seen? And, oh my Lord, I'm going to quote. How can you not love your fellow man who you have seen and not love God who you've not seen? It's the love of God is something that is a determination of your heart. It is something that you decide to do. It may or may not contain feelings, but we are not moved by feelings. We are moved by truth. Truth is, God's more lovely than we could possibly imagine. The second characteristic of a person that's got things, all things, Anybody know what all means in the Greek? All things working together for them, for their good. The second characteristic of this person is that they are called according to His purpose. This is as radical as saying that I'm loving Him actively. Because being called according to His purpose means that I'm not called according to my purpose. There's my purpose, and there's His purpose. I don't know what you're thinking. One day you'll be so holy, you'll be so righteous, you'll be so much in love with God that your purpose will be His purpose. And I'll agree to the degree that it should be overwhelming for you to want to adopt His purpose, but let me say this. What did Jesus pray in the garden? Now, if you're saying you're more holy, more righteous, and more in love with God than Jesus Christ, then we and you might have to have a little conversation afterwards. Because we're not there yet. We should be there. We're getting there. Amen. But we're not there yet. But yet Jesus still had to struggle with His own will. He did not want to go to the cross. Amen. I know that sounds blasphemous for some folks that Jesus did something He didn't want to do. But He did something He didn't want to do because He wanted to do what the Father wanted Him to do because He wanted you. So there was two wants. That's the whole purpose of Romans chapter 7, and I'm not going to go there, but the whole purpose of Romans chapter 7 is to show us that there is, if we are not sanctifying our soul unto God, then there is a chance that your soul is going to want to distract you from God's will, from God's purposes. If it happened to Jesus, it can pretty much happen to you, amen? But what did Jesus do about it? He didn't go by His will. Amen. I think sometimes this generation is losing some of the power that's available to them by exercising the fruit of self-control. In the fruit of self-control, you control self. Which means self doesn't control you. Which almost means I'm not going to do what I feel like. If you do what you feel like, everybody in this room would be unemployed. Amen? Am I the only one that's ever had a job? Everybody in this room would probably be divorced. Multiple times. Hundreds. Amen? Multiple people in this room would have killed many times over their children.
Amen.
Grandchildren. Great-grandchildren, maybe not yet. After about two, they get uncuddly. We don't go by what we feel like doing. Amen? We're bigger than that. We have God on the inside of us. We go by what He wants us to do. So today, I'm going to minister to you on the law of purpose. And I'm going to have Dale come up and share something right along this line here in a little bit. Let's please go to Genesis Chapter 1. Let me give you one of the most important truths that you need to adopt in your heart. If you ever need to know whether something is or is not God's will, there's two things for you to look at. One, the garden. Two, the ministry of Jesus. The garden was God's perfect plan. And Jesus was God's perfect man. So if you're ever wrestling with whether something is or is not of God, you can look at God's perfect plan, the garden, or you can look at God's perfect man, Jesus Christ, and you can determine. For example, well, I wonder if this sickness is teaching me something. Did God teach Adam and Eve in the perfect plan through sickness? Anybody? This is no. Did Jesus teach any of His disciples through sickness? In fact, they probably, you know, one of the things I think they were so upset with Jesus leaving is because they just spent 3.5 years in perfect provision, perfect health, you imagine a disciple waking up, you know, Thomas waking up on a Tuesday and saying, Lord, I just don't think I can disciple today. Totally. I'm all wore out. My bones hurt. I'm getting older. I will guarantee not a single disciple ever said that to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they would have got a tongue lashing like none of us have ever seen. Are you kidding me? I am the creator of life. Get your rusty butt up. In my name. Amen. The perfect plan in the garden, the perfect man, Jesus Christ. Those are the two ways you can determine God's will, God's desire for your life. Was there any lack in the garden? Did God say, well, look, there's a little bit of a shortage here in the Garden of Eden, so just make sure you only have one apple a day, one orange a day, only a couple of potatoes. Because, we don't want to run out. I mean, I know there's two of you. Daddy's got mouths to feed, all both of you. No, there was probably so much that they probably could have easily spent all day long just wandering through the garden, just deciding which one of the hundreds or thousands of different fruits they were going to have for a snack. For those of us around here, you only think there's 10, 15 fruits on the planet. I got news for you. Go to different parts of the world. And you will taste some stuff that you didn't know existed. And it is some kind of awesome. Now, all of that came from God's creation. Now, I'm not saying that it hasn't, there hasn't been some kind of changes and things like that. But it was all there. There was no lack in the garden. There was no lack in Jesus' ministry. That's one of the reasons that I think the story of Mary and Martha was kind of funny. Because Martha was busy, was cumbered about serving and probably trying to get a meal ready. While Jesus Christ, the one who makes a meal out of literally thin air, is sitting in the room. Don't you know Martha could have said, you know what? You fed 15,000 people with a couple of fish and five loaves. I am sitting my butt right here and I am listening to what you've got to say. And if folks get hungry, they can look at you. That would have been godly of Martha to do that. Amen? No lack in the ministry of Jesus Christ. No sickness in the ministry of Jesus Christ. No lack in the Garden of Eden. No lack in the Garden of Eden. No sickness or disease in the Garden of Eden. God's perfect plan and God's perfect man will always show you God's perfect will. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creep that creeps. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. This is the law of purpose for mankind. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. It's the same law in effect today. God is speaking to those people that want to have the kingdom of God, wants to have God's will done on this earth as it is in heaven. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. This kingdom law is in effect today for all of mankind. For those of us that have made Jesus Christ our Lord, it is empowered in us by Him. For those of us that have not made Jesus Christ our Lord, then you are wrestling against a system that has many, many people at its disposal to make sure that you do not be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. One of the things about a law is, whether you agree with it or not, whether you believe in it or not, it is true. And this is This is probably one of the most important truths I learned in my life. The promises of God are obtained through faith and patience. So it says in Hebrews. The way that you have a promise come to pass in your life is through faith and patience. A law of God is happening whether you agree, whether you disagree, whether you like it, whether you don't, whether you have faith and patience or not. A law of God is going to happen no matter what. Amen. And here's one of the important truths that we need to get. Some of the laws of God are in our benefit, and all we need to do is just agree with the law and quit fighting the law. You know, there is a law of seed, time, and harvest. It's a law. It's not by faith, seed, time, and harvest. Farmers don't, Larry has never went out in his tractor and planted his field by faith. It's a law. You put a seed in the dirt, rains on it, you get a plant. It's a law. Whether Larry's righteous, whether Larry's evil, whether Larry is white or Larry is black, whether Larry's tall, whether Larry's short, whether Larry is in a good mood or a bad mood, if he puts a seed in the ground, it will make a plant. Let me give you another truth about a law. It doesn't matter who does it. You know, you don't have to be a farmer to put something in the ground and plant it. That's a law. I do not have to believe in gravity to know that if I fell face forward right now, I would have a headache. Amen? Anybody? Whether I agree with gravity or not, you know what I can say? Stupid gravity. I don't want to play with gravity today. I don't want this law happening in my life today. Here's what I'm going to do. I am so tired of walking everywhere. I'm just going to float. You know what? I don't have to agree with the laws of God. I don't have to agree with the laws of physics. I don't have to agree with the laws of nature. I'm going to do whatever I want because I'm an American. I'm free in Christ. I can just float. I'm going to float home. You know what y'all are thinking? Last time our pastor was saying. Amen. There are laws of the kingdom. One of the laws is purpose. God set mankind in purpose. If you just idle through life, the purposes of God are going to get done. With or without you. This is important. You can either choose to agree with and cooperate with the laws of God, or you can argue with them, ignore them, and do your own thing. When I was praying about this, I was meditating on it, and the Lord showed me that this would be akin to the law of gravity being a law. So here's what I could do. I could go home, I could get in my garage, and I could build me a go-kart. And it's going to be a good go-kart. I'm going to have flames painted on that sucker. I'm going to have wheels with bearings, because you know when you're a kid you didn't have wheels with bearings, so you had to figure it out. I'm going to have wheels with bearings. I'm going to have a good steering wheel system. I'm going to put an actual wheel in it. When we were kids we used to build them with strings where you just pulled the wheels, and that's not very safe. But I'm going to put a steering wheel in it. It's going to be bright red with orange flames on it. I'm going to put a Mustang sticker on the back side of that sucker. I'm going to get at the top of the tallest hill in town. I'm going to get me a hot mama by the name of Kay in the passenger seat that I'm going to build for her. And we're going to let gravity take us for a ride. And it's going to be yee-haw, y'all. Yee-haw. That is me agreeing with and interacting with the law of gravity. Or I could say, you know what? Whatever. I'm going to go where I want to go. I don't care about no laws of gravity. Nothing can hold me down. I'm my own man. Do my own thing. And I can go get me some kind of a jalopy thing like a Chevy. And I can go stand... or a Dodge.
And I can stand at the bottom of the hill. And I can push my jalopy uphill. I say, that's right, I'm getting somewhere. That's right, I'm going. I'm moving. And while I'm pushing my jalopy up the hill, Steve and Kay go, whee, right past me, like, rubbing it in, stupid jerkheads. And I can get mad, and I can get upset, or I can turn my jalopy around, put a Mustang sticker on it, and float down the hill. Amen? The law of purpose is something that I would encourage you to agree with. You'll get to the end, y'all. You'll get there. I promise you, life is a terminal experience. The moment you were born, you were on track to die. The Bible says that Christians fall asleep, so you weren't born to die in that context, but you're born to fall asleep. It's a terminal experience. You're going to get to the end, whether you fight it, whether you kick it, whether you scream, whether you buy a Chevy, or whether you get in a Mustang. You're going to get to the end. So here's what I would encourage you to do. Agree with the laws. Get in your go-kart, get you a hottie, sitting in the passenger seat, and rip it. And go, wee! Amen. Don't put a Confederate flag on top because that's not PQ anymore. So, mankind was given by God the purpose of being fruitful, and that has many connotations. I don't want to get into all that. Amen. I could get into it. Want me to get into it? Be fruitful. Multiply. That's more than just kids. Amen. Replenish the earth. That word in the Hebrew means fill, or actually fulfill, which means completely fill. And then subdue it. You know, here, this is interesting. God told perfect man in a perfect garden, in a perfect plan, that they needed to subdue the earth. In other words, what he set in motion in the kingdom of him, because this is the kingdom, the garden was the kingdom, what he set in motion was so populous, was so full of blessing, was so full of energy, that he actually wanted man to make sure that it was properly restrained. Those of you that think that God just barely might want to dispense you some prosperity or barely get you above sick, you know, just so you're just not sick, you know. You're not really healthy, not really whole, not really vibrant, not really full of energy and full of life. Just barely not sick. That is not how God operates. God was so fruitful in the garden. There was so much prosperity. There was so much energy. There was so much vibrancy taking place in the garden that he actually told Adam and Eve, actually told mankind, that you have to make sure that you subdue this. Make it right. Amen. Think about that. That is huge. So in chapter 2, verse 15, let's read off there. In chapter 2, verse 15, he gave them specific purpose. Now that was the purpose of mankind in general. In 2:15, he gave them specific purpose. He specifically told them that they needed to dress and keep the garden. Dress means cultivate. Keep means protect. Now, why in the world would he tell them to protect the garden? From whom? From what? You know, I could imagine them sitting there and God saying, hey, protect the garden. And Adam and Eve like, from what? You made all this. There's nothing to protect it from. Okay? Listen to me by faith. Protect the garden. Most of the time God tells you something that's going on, or God will encourage you to do something. Those of you that have yet to adopt the truth that God wants you to be prosperous, listen. There are things coming. Maybe you're hearing me. I hope. He that has ears to hear, listen to what I have to say. There are things coming in this planet,
in this region, in your life, that it's going to be necessary for you to be agreeing with the laws of prosperity. Whether you can see it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, this isn't optional. Go read some of the last chapters of about four or five epistles where Paul writes to different people that he has. And he said, now look, the end times are coming. Look, times are coming. Look, there's going to be people that come and deceive. There's going to be Antichrist. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. Almost at the end of every letter, they were charged. They were warned that things are going to happen that are in course with the curse that's on this world. And you need to be prepared. You need to be working forward towards making sure you're ready for that. It is not time for you to believe in divine health when you are having a heart attack. That is the time for you to call 911, get a defibrillator, and call someone who's got more faith than you. You know what is better than having someone heal you, divinely heal you of a heart attack? Not having one. Not having one. You know what's better than believing God to get rid of your cold? Not having one. Amen? This is what we're trying to do, beloved. This is why we're building this house of grace. This is why I'm trying to tell you we need to be the most prosperous, the most healthy, and the most influential people in this region, because people are going to come to you and they're going to need to know how these laws operate. So listen to me closely, please. The law of purpose is operating in this planet, in your life. God gave specifically to Adam and Eve the individual purpose of protect the garden and cultivate the garden. They did not. Listen, they did not. And you and I have suffered for it. Let us, beloved, hear me, please. Let us listen to our Father. Let us be the ones that say the generation that follows us is not going to have to suffer because of our choices. They're going to be blessed because of our choices. And I hope you get that. I hope you get that. We should not be passing on the suffering. We should not be learning the truths about suffering. We should be learning the truths about victory. And we should be passing those on to the generations that come after us. Wouldn't it be great to pass on to your kids, this is how you become wealthy. This is how you stay healthy. This is how you have productive marriages, productive families. This is how you advance the kingdom of our God. This is how you live a life fulfilled and full of joy. What a great thing to pass on to the next generation. The law of purpose is operating whether we know it or not. I encourage you to get in your flame-painted Mustang, get you a hottie, and head on down the hill. Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Having made known. How many people have, before right now, and obviously I'm prompting you, and so I want you to be honest, how many people before right now just think that God's will is a mystery? Nobody? Must be preaching at a good church. God's will is not a mystery. Amen. Well, you never know what God's going to do. His ways are mysterious. His thoughts are above our thoughts and His ways above our ways. I don't have time to break all that down. I can just tell you this, that this scripture says, we know, having known, past tense, the mystery of His will. Welcome to the New Testament. In the New Testament, God wants you to unravel His mysteries. In the Old Testament, they couldn't unravel the mysteries because all they could do was have the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of revelation, come on them and go off them. So what he did through the Old Testament was partner with the patriarchs of old, the prophets of old, and he left you and I mysteries to unravel for all of mankind to see. Having made known unto us the mystery, who's us? The church. It's the church, y'all. He wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. In fact, all of these epistles are written to the church. I almost hesitate to say this because people take this and they get all weird and legalistic, and then they send me bad emails and try to make me feel like a jerkhead. But God specifically designed the church, the gathering together of the saints, to have a very specific and special purpose. You are not the church. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not the church. We are the church. You, temple of the Holy Spirit. We, the church. The word church, ecclesia, is always in the plural and is always used as a gathering. The church is us. I am a member of the church, just like I am a member of the body of Christ. Amen. So having made known unto us, not us Christians, us the church. I can prove this in a minute because I'm going to go to another verse. But this is important for us to know. You have the mystery. You have a mystery that God hid from generations, not because he wanted them to have a bad way of living, but because before Jesus Christ came, the fullness of the mystery could not be revealed. And because we didn't know that the mystery was Christ in us, our hope of glory. It says in Colossians 1:23-ish. That is the mystery, Christ in us. You know, if God would have said to Abraham, hey, by the way, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. I want you to go and start a whole new... And by the way, Christ is going to be in you, your hope of glory. Abraham would say, what? Christ who? Well, you know, he's coming. So someone that's coming is going to be in me? Come on now. This is our mystery for us to unravel for the world. Hey, you know, you can walk up to your neighbor and say, I've got a secret. I got a secret. What's your secret? Well, I don't know. Are you ready to hear a secret? It's pretty juicy. I heard something about you. You what? From who? I can't tell you from who yet. But I got a secret. You better tell me. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to punch you. Well, all right, if you really have to know. Hey, the creator of the universe wants to literally redo the inside of you in an extreme home makeover and live there for the rest of eternity. I got a secret for you. He wants to live there for the rest of eternity. He's actually knocking right now on the door of your heart. It's a mystery that the creator of the universe can live on the inside of you, but that's what he wants to do. You want to accept that? That's a good secret. Having made known unto us the mystery of his words, according to his good pleasure, his will is good. Amen? Say, his will is good. Say, I know a mystery. That his will is good. According to the good pleasure that he has purposed in himself. Now this is a law of purpose that is in Christ. So as we operate in Christ, we are agreeing with this law. If we argue with Christ, the man and the power, we are going to argue or reject this law working in our lives. Now it's going to work. The church will be the glorious bride that it says in Revelation chapter 19.
We will become conformed to the image of His dear Son. We are predestined. In fact, a few verses before this, it says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. You will be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, you can fight it all the way to the end of your life, and you'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye, or you can agree with it and start living in some of the benefits and the blessings of being conformed to Christ today. Amen. That's a good word right there. Verse 10, please. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that word dispensation in the King James, it just means that we are going to be stewards, a stewardship, or a administration. So in the administration of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, when most people read that, they say, yes, amen. One day in the sweet by and by, we'll all be one and all things will be great. Amen. Praise God. Okay, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Let's see if you can be faster than me, Jess. I think it's Jesus saying that this is the fullness of times. Hey, it was right. And saying the time is fulfilled. Does anybody know what fulfilled means? It's full. And it's full. So Jesus said the time is fulfilled. So basically what Jesus is saying is it's time. It's time for what? For the kingdom. And now here in Ephesians, Paul was saying that there's a fulfilling of time. So is it today? Come on, now this is important. Jesus said, today is the day. Paul says, the day says it's fulfilled. It's a fulfilled day. Jesus says, today is the day. Paul says, we're in the day. If you don't believe me, go Galatians 4:4, please, Jess. This is even more clear. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come. Anybody see the past tense there? So Jesus says, it's here. Paul says, when it's here, it looks this way. And then Galatians says, it was here. Are you following me on this? Did I lose anybody? Nod your head, act spiritual. So we're in the time. It's not a time to come. We're in the time, and it's a time to come. Are you following me? It's here now. It was here. It's here now, and it will be here. Did I lose anybody on that? It was here, Jesus Christ, ushered in the kingdom of God, and then He established the church, and so the church is here. Are you part of the church? Yes. So the church is here. And we are now manifesting these truths, and as we manifest them, they will be manifested in the future. So the truth came, the truth is, and the truth always will be. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He who was and is to come. Jesus Christ and His life transcends time. And for us to make things about yesterday or for us to make things about tomorrow means that we are rejecting the fullness of the person of Jesus Christ because He wants you to manifest it today. You know, we can live in this all. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, we can live in this all right now. We can be there now. We don't have to look at this verse and say, man, wouldn't that be great? Maybe one day. Maybe if we all get our acts together. We don't have to believe that. We can say, hey, you know what? This is for us today because this is the dispensation. We are now authorized to oversee, to steward over this specific time, which is the fullness that all things will be gathered together in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. We are actually supposed to be bringing in the fullness of times of the heaven realities. Man, can you get that? What's it like in heaven? Pretty darn awesome. Even people that aren't born again want to go to heaven. So what's the problem? People who are born again don't want to go to church. Come on now. Which means that there is an opportunity for us to usher more heaven into our gatherings. Come on. Hope you're getting this. This isn't about us getting together and just saying, well, you know, I go to church with them. They're pretty cool. I like their pink they had on today. That was pretty. This is about us manifesting the fullness of the mystery of Jesus Christ on the inside of us that wants to get together. When we get together, there should be prophecies and healings and words of wisdom and words of knowledge, and there should be spiritual singing, and there should be peace and joy and intimacy. Amen. And I can say this, and you can say, yeah, maybe one day. Or you can say, you know what, today, I'm going to agree with the purposes of to God today. This isn't going to be about tomorrow. This isn't going to be about the sweet by and by. This is going to be about one day, maybe, way off out there in the future when everybody gets it all together and we get more revelation, we get more. You know, we can start manifesting what we know today. Does anybody in here know that God wants His people well?
Amen.
Does anybody in here know that God wants His people prosperous?
Yes.
You know these truths right here, right now. Which means that if you know these truths today, don't let what you don't know for tomorrow keep you from manifesting what you do know for today. Amen. Amen. That's a good word. That just preached me happy. Not that I wasn't happy to begin with. Oh, Ephesians. I'm not even in Ephesians. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, from both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. The purposes are in Him. Your purposes are not in Him. His purposes are in Him. You agreeing with in Him means that His purposes are taking place. Verse 11, please, this. In whom also we have obtained. Will obtain or have obtained? Do you have it? Where is it? In Him. You have obtained an inheritance. You know, this is one of the most awesome things about the kingdom. In life, Mom and Jim are incredibly wealthy. They are billionaires. And one day they're going to die. And I'm going to have an inheritance. I mean, not that I want it to happen, but, you know, I mean, if it happened, that would be all right.
Don't forget there's
time. I'm the favorite son, we all know. In natural life, you literally have to have this, like, double-edged sword. Like, I love Mom. I love Jim. I don't want them to die. I love inheritances. Kind of do want them to die. Don't want them to die. I love them. I love inheritances. So Jesus comes along and says, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll die and then come back and then you can have the inheritance and me. And so you know what we do? Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. The heck with the inheritance. What? I went through all this to give you an inheritance? And you're like, the heck with the inheritance? Man, take the inheritance. You get Jesus and the inheritance. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 15 when He told the parable of the wayward son, the prodigal son. It was showing the heart of the father, where the kids come up to say, hey, you know what? You're not dead yet, but can we have your inheritance? You know what the father said? You brat kids. No, it says He gave them both. And if you read that story, neither of those two kids were really deserving of anything. They both needed a spanking, something fierce. But the father's heart was so good, He gave them the inheritance. And so the older brother had the inheritance and had the father. Amen! That's what Jesus wants us to have. You have now obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. His purpose and His will are working together. You agree with His will, you agree with His purpose. You agree with His purpose, you agree with His will. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, please, sis. Ephesians 3:9. Those of you that are flipping, flip fast. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So now we have a fellowship in this mystery. This is the same book, same author, same letter. So the same mystery. He's talking this whole mystery all the way through. This is so beautiful. I love this. To make all men see. This isn't just about knowing. This is about seeing. We are supposed to make folks see what this mystery is. That the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world, what is that talking about? The purpose that God put in place sent from the beginning. These purposes from the very get-go, from the beginning of the world, were hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the purpose of God. And God hid all purpose in Jesus Christ. Next verse, please. And to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by whom? Y'all weren't very convinced on that. Who is going to be teaching the demonic powers, the evil influences of this world? Who's the boss? Well, Jesus one day is going to come back and he's going to slice and dice and julienne and he's going to make everybody bow the knee and, you know, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess and Jesus is going to ride a white horse and it's going to be really awesome and maybe Jesus is already conquered death, hell, and the grave and maybe Jesus is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Ruler over all of heaven and earth. And maybe he decided to live in his people, hoping that his people would go out and make his enemies his footstools. That sounds, if you were God, would that make sense to you? Like, instead of making Jesus come here and do all the work, how about you just duplicate yourself like a billion times, live in the people, and then just have them go out there and do what you want done? And what you want done is, you want the principalities and the powers to know who the boss is. Does anybody know Jesus is the boss? Okay, you know it. Have you ever let the principalities of darkness, the powers of this world, the governmental systems of this world, have you ever let them know who the boss is? Have you ever seen the sick healed because the boss of the body is Jesus Christ? Have you ever seen the dead raised because the boss over death is Jesus Christ? Have you ever seen poverty and lack destroyed because the boss of prosperity is Jesus Christ our Lord? That's what it means by making every principality and dark system know that Jesus is the boss. You, me, the church, we have to do this. We need to stop waiting for Jesus to come back and do what he told you and I to do. So what are you going to do? Find someone sick and pray for them. What if it doesn't work? Not your job. Not your job. Jesus said, go in my name, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So whose job is it to recover? They. Whose job is it to lay? You. Did I lose anybody on that? Is that complicated? You lay hands, they recover. Your job is lay hands. Their job is recover. And I tell them that sometimes. Hey, it's my job to lay hands on you, and it's your job to recover. You got it? You know, most of the time, they don't even argue with you. Well, okay. I'll recover. Amen. You know what that is? Faith. You just don't have to use the big F word. Because when you say the F word to people, then they get all freaked out. Like, oh, I've got to have faith. Oh, man, faith. It's so hard to do. Faith is hard. I know. How about this? How about the Scripture says, if I lay hands on you, you'll recover. How about I'll do the laying on of hands? Pretty easy. You do the recovering? Pretty easy. How's that sound? Is that a whole lot easier than faith? Yeah, that sounds a lot easier. Okay, let's do that. You know what you just did? You tricked them into faith. You gave them a mystery. Amen. We should be manifesting these truths to the principalities and powers. The next verse, please, says, according to the eternal... Oh, now we have an eternal purpose. This purpose isn't going away, y'all. Amen. You are going to be this forever. You and I are going to be this forever. We're going to be forever filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be forever manifesting these truths. So when you are agreeing with the law of purpose, you are operating in what God is trying to do for all of eternity, for all the people. And all of these pieces have important functions. There are many laws in the kingdom. There's a lot of promises in the kingdom, but there are many laws in the kingdom. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus says that there's a law of mercy, there's a law of judgment, and there's also a law of love. It says in Luke chapter 11, I think it's verse 42, that there's a law of love, there's a law of justice, there are laws of faith. Faith works by a law. There are laws of love. There are laws of prosperity. There are laws that are operating, and all God wants you to do is get on board with that. Now, promises are different, and there are things that God is going to promise us as a church, us as individuals, us as people of God, and there are things that God's going to come to you and He's going to whisper secrets in your ears and make promises to you directly. And those are things you have to take by faith and you have to operate in, and through faith and patience you obtain the promises. But there are laws that I'm trying to get us to understand that we should be operating in. We should just agree with the laws. Agree with gravity. Your go-kart will go faster. Amen. Agree with the law of purpose. The journey of life will be so wonderful. How do you agree with the laws? You speak them. You agree with them by action. If you agree with the law of purpose, then your action will be living a life of purpose. Not living a life of wake up, clock in, do the zombie thing, come home, watch TV, doing the zombie thing number two, go to bed, wake up tomorrow, and repeat the zombie cycle. Dwayne Sheriff calls it the cycle of the living dead. That is not us living by purpose. Living by purpose is waking up tomorrow and say, Lord, what are we doing today? Me and the creator of the universe, what are we going to make happen? Which principality and power needs to know your boss today? Amen. And then when your wife next to you kind of groans and wants to get, get out. No, we're going to start right here. Lay hands on her. Amen. I better bring Dale up, because if I expand on laying hands on your wife in the first thing in the morning, well, that'll help us be fruitful and multiply, won't it? Amen. Agreeing with the law, the Genesis law of purpose. Please agree with the Genesis law of purpose. Let me give you a couple of really important truths. So write these down if you're taking notes. If you're not taking notes, you have to get the CD. Everybody agree? It's for free. No cost means no excuse. The CD is for free. So here's a couple of truths. Chaos or need requires creation. If you go look at the Genesis story, it says that the earth, the waters of the earth, they were darkness and there was no form. And so God created. When God created, He put in order. So chaos requires creation. After creation, then you put in order. If the order ever falls back apart, you will be required to have creation again. So here's my instructions to you. Don't let order fall apart in your lives. We are supposed to be disciples. Disciples means disciplined one, which means people of order. We're supposed to be people of honor. So chaos requires creation. Creation requires order. If order ever falls apart, you will need to redo creation and redo order. Let's not put ourselves in that situation. Purpose was lost with sin in the garden, but Jesus became the gardener. You remember the first person that seen Jesus after the resurrection was Mary at the tomb? And she thought He was the gardener. Why? Because He was the gardener. Adam was the gardener that failed. Jesus Christ is the gardener that will never fail. So what was lost in the garden was then re-elevated and restored back to its original purpose in Christ. Violating the laws of purpose will bring destruction. It's not it's not something that might happen. It's not something that accidentally will come into place. Isaiah 24:4 says, "The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth do languish." You hear that? That's like a really wonderful verse. "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has a curse devoured the earth. They that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left." It's not a really super awesome scripture, but the purpose of the scripture is to show you that the laws, and I don't think this just means the Torah, the laws of Moses, I think it means the laws. If you agree with the laws, then there is no way that destruction, misery, any of those negative things can usher into your life, because you're going downhill in a go-kart with your hottie. "The resolve you have to your purpose will determine the amount of distraction you will face." Want me to synopsize the book of Joshua for you? He lived in purpose and smoked all the enemies. That's a really quick synopsis of the book of Joshua. Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Go fulfill what I told him to do. Yes, sir. Chapter, 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 chapter. Fallen enemy, fallen enemy, fallen enemy. Land taken, land taken, land taken. Joshua gets the end of his life. Okay, got it. Now let's divvy out the land. Joshua is one of those cool people that actually did what he was created to do. And look what happened. He established an entire nation and put them in the places that they needed to be. He was just on purpose. Book of Joshua, the man on purpose. If you do not understand the purpose of a thing, I hope you guys can almost have this memorized. If you do not understand the purpose of a thing, you will misuse it, abuse it, and lose the benefit of it. If you do not understand the purpose of a thing, if you do not understand the purpose of your life, if you do not understand the purpose of sex, if you do not understand the purpose of money, if you do not understand the purpose of love, if you do not understand the purpose of a thing, you will misuse it, you will abuse it, and you will lose the benefit of it. It's a law. It's a law. I might think that my flathead screwdriver makes a really, really awesome chisel, but when I go and need to take out a flathead screw, and I go grab my flathead screwdriver that I've been using as a chisel for 5 years, I will not have the benefit of my screwdriver. Because I abused it, and I misused it. Jesus, real quick. John 10:10. Jesus has purpose. Satan has purpose. Satan wants to steal from you, kill you, and to destroy you. Jesus wants to bring life. This is his purpose. Mark 10:45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus' purpose in your life is not to be served. It is for him to serve you. Well, aren't we supposed to serve God? Yes, you'll do it by byproduct naturally after you've allowed him to serve you and you naturally fall in love with him. Service will flow from you because of how much you agree with him. If you don't let him serve you, you can never serve him. Man, that was way too quiet. If you don't allow Jesus to serve you, you will never be able to serve him, because you will never see it in action. How can you do something you don't know how to do? Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that was lost. His purpose is to seek and save lost folk. What is your purpose? If the mystery of the will of Christ is on the inside of you, that means that one of your purposes is to seek and save lost folk. Which means stop talking bad about them. Stop avoiding them. Stop ignoring them. Stop looking at their pitiful circumstances and saying, well, it serves you right. I told you. We are supposed to be seeking and saving lost folks, which means go find some lost. Does anybody know any lost people? I know a lot of lost people. We're supposed to be seeking after them. Amen. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus' purpose was to do the Father's will. What's your purpose? Anybody? Did I lose you all? Everybody fall asleep? If Jesus' will was to do the Father of the one that sent him, then what's your will? What's your purpose? to do the purpose of the Father.
Amen. That wasn't super complicated, I don't think.
For judgment I have come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. God's justice works differently than man's justice. Man's justice says, oh, you poor little thing, let me help you out. God's justice says, oh, you poor little thing, let me take what you got. Amen. That needs a lot more explanation, but I'm going to go ahead and let that be a mystery. Y'all can search it out. Matthew 5:17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus isn't bashing on the Old Testament. He fulfilled the Old Testament. Mark 1:14-15, Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, repent ye and believe the gospel. What's repent mean? Change your way of thinking. Change the way you're thinking and let the kingdom come into your life. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He, His purpose was giving His one and only Son, so that, what's the purpose of His giving? That we could all have eternal life. And then verse 17 says that He did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And so Jesus' purpose was not to condemn. So what is your purpose? Not to condemn. Amen? Hey, women? Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because. So the purpose of the Spirit of God living in you also has a because, a purpose. The Spirit didn't just come in here just so you could say, woo, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian, watch me dance. That's not the purpose of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God on the inside of you was to fulfill a purpose. What purpose? To anoint you so that you can proclaim the good news well, so that you can heal the sick rightly, so that you can help people that are in darkness come into light, so that you can tell poor people they don't have to be poor no more. Amen. Amen. So one real last thing that I want to say, and then I'm going to let Dale. The devil has a purpose. And I'm not trying to end on this, but I want to let you know. There's two purposes. There's God's and there's the enemy's. You align with one and you get the benefit of it. You align with the other one, you'll get the benefit, quote unquote, of it. Your will is the struggle between aligning whichever purpose you're going to struggle with. Nothing happens. I used to say this a lot from the pulpit. I haven't said it very much. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God by accident. Nothing happens in the kingdom of earth by accident. There are no accidents in the kingdom of God. There are no accidents in the kingdom of darkness. Everything that happens in the kingdom of darkness is to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. Everything that happens in God's plans is to bring abundant life and His purposes into your life. Amen. Nothing happens by accident. So stop saying that. Well, that was just luck. Luck is a way of just blaming the devil without using His name. Amen? Nothing happens by accident. Everything is ordained by God or ordained by the enemy. Agree with those purposes. That's the law of purpose. Now, Dale wants to give you a testimony about how the law of purpose worked in his life.
So, my testimony has been added to this just this last week. And it'll become part of my permanent testimony. I'll go out and preach to anybody that'll listen to me. And there's nobody more important to my heart than this group right here. So I want to share this with you, what happened to me, so it doesn't happen to you. You know, 3 years ago, most of you do, so that's why I was going to go back a little bit. I was working at a tire factory and woke up one morning, and my heart stopped 3 different times throughout the day, and they ended up putting a pacemaker in my chest to keep it going. I hate this thing. This thing is the thorn in my side. This thing is a reminder every day of a weakness that I had, a weak time that instead of counting on the truths of Jesus Christ, I let a mechanical device be put into me. So it's my thorn in my side. This Paul has a thorn in his side, Dennis. Fast forward 3 years, My brother, who is 3 years younger than me, has a heart attack this last year. Now, his was different. He had a blockage, but it killed him. And they hit him with electricity how many times and got him back? Praise God. And then he wore this for 2 months. He wore this, I'll call it what I do it in our shop, his man bra. It was a defibrillator that you wear on the outside, because insurance companies now want you to find out if you actually need one. They're going to kind of, it's kind of their therapy. So he was wearing that with a big battery pack on his side. And he had some issues, and they decided that they were going to put a pacemaker in him, but he's got the defibrillator one that will zap him. And that happened just this week. Tuesday, they put that in. He had been back to work for a little bit of time, and but they knew that this test was coming up, so now he's off work again. So Tuesday, they put this in. They did it late enough in the day that Wednesday, he didn't get out till Wednesday morning. Thursday, now my brother lives right next door to me. We don't see each other super a lot. He's a third shifter, and I'm not. But he's got work shops kind of between our buildings. And when I see the lights on there, I go, ooh, Dennis is in a shop. I'm going to go bug him a little bit. And I wanted to know how his surgery went. So I saw the shop lights on Thursday morning. And we're talking about similarities and things. And we're talking about counting on the faith of God. Let me back up just a little bit. 2 months ago, I decided that the medicines I was taking that was prescribed to go along with this wasn't necessary. I decided that it was time for me to start walking out that faith and believing in Jesus Christ, that my healing was there. Now, I did it when my wife was in South Carolina, because I'm a little more scared of her than anything else. So, and she will be watching this, so she'll hear about it. She knows about it. Wasn't happy the first day, but she knows about it. But I've been feeling great. I've been feeling awesome ever since. It's like when I quit drinking, it was like God just started blessing me and things were just going great and I was just happy all the time. So anyway, now we'll fast forward to Thursday morning. I'm sitting there in the chair talking to my little brother, and we're talking about different things. And somehow we got talking about if you had a stroke, how horrible that would be, because you might be fully mentally conscious but not physically able to get around and stuff like that. And out of my mouth, and here's the mistake, everybody, so listen real clear. Out of my mouth, I says, I always kind of figured if that happened to me, somebody would sneak me a gun and I'd take care of this problem. I wouldn't have to do that, okay? What did I just do right there? I opened the door, a crack of doubt in my faith. Just a little bit. But somebody come rushing through. Somebody come rushing through hard. Thursday afternoon, I'm out in the barn with my dogs. Everybody knows I love my dogs. And I thought I stepped in a pile of dog pile because my legs slipped forward. And all at once, I realized there shouldn't be where I'm at. And I look down, and my leg's doing this number. And it's wobbling. And it's like a leg of rubber. I don't really have control. I was able to stand up, but I didn't have control over it. I go, what is going on? And right away, I'm thinking, stroke. I'm thinking it's on my left side now because it's in my left side of my head because it's my right side of my body. And I'm thinking, oh, what did I do? But you know what I did? I did this. Jesus, thank you. God, thank you for what you're doing in my. I know that your promises from the cross are my promises. I know that. I know that, Jesus, you're not on the cross no more, but the work was finished. And part of that work you were doing was prophesied in Isaiah 53, and it was reconfirmed again in 1 Peter that the stripes on his back are my healing. And I started jumping up and down and screaming, yes. Now, my neighbors might think I'm real weird, but I don't care. I was, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. And I look down and I go, woohoo! There ain't no problem at all anymore. So I want to share. We walk these truths out. They're powerful, awesome truths. But we opened that door a crack. I wasn't even thinking. But I did it. I opened the door a crack and somebody come rushing in, and he tried making my wife a widow that night. And he might have got it done if I wouldn't have started proclaiming those truths right then and there. So I love you all so much. I want you to remember that when you start walking these in and you do that, don't ever crack that door.
All right, stand on your feet, please. The law of purpose of a microphone is to have your voice amplified. Dale agreed with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made him free from the law of sin and death. Sin has a law, death has a law that's trying to kill you and trying to steal from you. But he agreed with the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Dale could not heal a gnat. The power of Christ on the inside of him can do anything. Amen. All right, hold out your heart and your hands. These are the laws of God, the purpose of God going into. This is a promise that he's given you. If you interact with this, you can roll downstream in your Mustang with your hottie. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and you live in good health to the same degree that you are prospering and healthy in your soul. I pray this and proclaim this over you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you agree, say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.